Masechet Baba Mesia Daf Yod Zayin. More halachot about finding contracts in the marketplace and who you return it to. Amar Rabbi Abhu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Namoseh shtarcho bashuk. Af al pi shekatu bo henpek, lo yachaziro lebe'alim. In the name of Rabbi Yochanan, we learn that someone that finds a promissory note in the marketplace, even though it has a ratification by the court, one does not return it to the creditors. We'll explain further. Lo mi ba'ya hecha de lo katu bo henpek, di ikal memar katav lo dvot ulo lava, ela filu katav bo henpek, umaynihu dimkuyam, lo yachazir de chashinan lepera'on. I don't even need to teach you that if it doesn't have a ratification by the court, then one does not return it, because maybe the borrower wrote this contract but never actually used it. He never went through with the loan. And so if he never actually borrowed the money, then certainly you can't give it to the creditor to then collect the money. That's for sure. Rabbi Yochanan is teaching us an even bigger chidush. Even if it has a henpek, what is a henpek? A ratification of the signatures. Whenever a document comes to the court, a contract, they have to see, are these signatures valid? Let's call them in. Did you sign this document? Or if they're not around, someone that knows them, or compare their signature to something else that we know that they signed. So first we have to ratify the document, and then they put a stamp or they attach another paper on it that says, yes, this is ratified. Even in that case, see, in that case, we know for sure that the loan went through, because otherwise they wouldn't be bringing it to court. So surely the borrower did, in fact, give this loan document to the court, so you don't have to worry that there was never a loan, but rather, still, you don't return it, because maybe it was already paid back, and it was the creditor gave it to the borrower, and the borrower is the one that lost it, so therefore, we do not return it to the creditor in either case. But now we challenge this ruling of Rabbi Yochanan. Itibe Rabbi Yirmiyah le Rabbi Abhu. Koma se betin hare ze yachzir. The Mishnah that we mentioned yesterday, that we're going to be analyzing further in three dapim from now, that says any court document we do return to the creditor, because it's processed by the court, so that means it must be real authentic, and so we give it to them. And here, this one has a henpek. That means it's a court document. And Rabbi Yochanan said we don't give it to the creditor, but the Mishnah says you should return it to the creditor. And so Rabbi Abhu answers to Yirmiyah, who's younger, Yirmiyah, my son, not all documents that come from a court are the same. Rather, this Mishnah is where it says that you do return it, is talking about a case where the debtor has a status, a presumptive status of being a denier, a liar. In other words, the debtor already lied. Could be about a different case, or maybe about this very case, and we caught him lying. Maybe witnesses came and said that he's lying. And so when he says, oh, I paid it back, you know what? We just ignore his claim. And that's why in such a case, you give it back to the creditor. But in a normal case, most people we presume are honest and reliable. So in a normal case, that's what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about, that you, since it came from the court, you give it to the you do not give it to the creditor. Only if the debtor is suspicious, then we do give it to the creditor. Amar Rava, umishum deuzak kafran hadazimna tula para kelal. Rava asks, wait a second, just because a person has a presumptive status of being a liar one time, does that mean he never pays? I understand. In one time, some deal that happened last month, he lied and he denied, and so he's not reliable for that. But does that mean that also in the future, for this case, he's going to be a liar, and now that's it? We assume that he doesn't pay anything ever, right? Sometimes people just they don't pay one bill, but it doesn't mean that they don't pay anybody. Ela marava matitin bishtar halta'ata ve'adrachta uchdribi zera. Rather, another answer to explain the contradiction between Rabbi Yochanan and the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is talking about not a loan document, but rather a bill of foreclosure or an authorization to pay and take someone's property because they owe such a thing. This is a court document that we mentioned yesterday, and Ribi Zera on yesterday's daf already said that this Mishnah is specifically talking about this type of document of foreclosure. Rava agreed with Rabbi Zera, although he had a slight disagreement about the explanation there, but he agreed that this Mishnah is talking about such a case. In such a case, you don't have to worry that this was already foreclosed, and then the debtor bought it back afterwards, and now the foreclosure document can be used again. You don't have to worry about that, as Rava said yesterday, because it's up to the debtor to tear up the foreclosure document or write a new document of sale. And so therefore, that's a case where if it exists, then you can assume it's valid and you can give it back to the creditor. That's not the same as Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a regular loan document where you do not give it back to the creditor. V'chafran, hoyo v'ata liyadan, nema ba'milita. This is Rava continuing his statement. He says, listen, now that you brought up this topic of a denier, I'm going to add another halacha about this that I also heard. Amar Rav Yosef bar Minyomi, Amar Rav Nachman, Amru lo se ten lo, v'amar parati ne'eman. Ba malve lichtob en kotvin venotnin lo. We're going to make a distinction between two types of language that a court uses. One is se ten lo and chayav ata li ten lo. When a court deems that someone is guilty and they say, se ten lo, they give an order to the guilty party, go and pay him. That's an actual order, that's a sentencing, and that's very serious. When they say, chayav ata li ten lo, that's only their ruling, but they don't actually, it's not yet the final verdict and the sentencing, so it's not actionable yet, even though they express their decision, what their decision is going to be. The person doesn't actually have to go and pay until the court orders him to do so. So we're looking at that distinction. And so Rava says, in the name of Rav Nachman, if the court tells a person who owes money, go and pay, and then that person claims, I already paid, he's believed. Because we assume that he's not lying. If he says he paid, then he paid, because most of the time when the court says you have to pay, then the person will pay, and if they said so, we believe them. And therefore, in such a case, if the malveh comes and says, ask the court, can you write me a document of authorization to take his money, we do not write it for him because we believe the debtor that he paid. However, when the court only gives their preliminary ruling and says you are liable to pay, and then the debtor says I paid already, he's not believed. That's because we assume that he's using a delaying tactic. He doesn't want to pay until the final sentencing, when he definitely has to. So it's not that he's totally lying. He's just saying, I paid just so he can delay it further. So that's normal human behavior, even though he shouldn't do that because he's lying. Nevertheless, people do that sometimes. Because people do that, so we suspect that when he says he paid, he actually didn't pay, because most people do not pay at the time of the preliminary ruling. They only pay at the time of the final sentencing. And therefore, if it's not the final sentencing yet, if they didn't say se ten lo, but they only said chayav eta li ten lo, and the malveh, the creditor, says, can you write me a document of authorization to take the money? We do write it for him. That is the opinion of Rava, quoting Rav Nachman. However, Rav Zavid, in the name of Rav Nachman, has a different ruling, slightly different. Rav Zavid mishmet Rav Nachman amar, ben se aten lo, ben chayav atah li ten lo, v'amar parati ne'eman, v'amar v'lichtob en kotvin v'notnin lo. No, it doesn't make a difference in the cases that you just mentioned. If the court said either go pay him, or you are liable to pay him, either the final sentencing or the preliminary ruling, it doesn't matter. We trust him in either case. If he says, I paid, then we trust he paid, and the creditor who asks for an authorization, we do not write it for him. Rather, there is room to distinguish between the two formulas as follows. Amru lo se ten lo v'amar parati v'adim me'idin oto shelo pera'o v'chazar v'amar parati husak kafran le'oto mamon. If a bet din issues a court order and says you have to go and pay, they tell a certain debtor, and the debtor says I already paid on this time, at this time, on this day, and this place, And then witnesses come and say, when that time we were with you at that time in that place, and you did not pay anybody at that time. They contradict him, and he in fact did not pay. And then he says again that he paid. The debtor says again that he paid. These three words, what's the significance of him saying again that he paid? He already said that he paid, and he's found to be a liar. What does it matter if he says it again? In fact, these three words seem like they should not be there. And if we check in the manuscripts, we see in the Vilna edition, they're in fact put in parentheses. The Maharshal says to delete them. They were there in the first printing from 1520 in Venice. And so that's why they're still in the Vilna edition, but they should be deleted. And you see here in the Florence and Hamburg, the Hamburg manuscript is the most important one, the most reliable for this Masechet, and in several others, it's not there. Only in one Vatican manuscript is there, and another Vatican manuscript, it's added in. So you see, these three words are on very shaky ground, and most likely should not be there, so it's correct to delete them, as the Maharshal has done. All right, so it doesn't really matter if he says again that he paid. The point is, because he claimed to have paid, and he is contradicted by two witnesses, so now he is assumed to be a liar for this money. He's not going to believe that whatever he says about this money, he'll have to bring now a next time proof that he in fact paid. However, that's different from Chayava Taliten Lo, Vamar Parati, Vadimi Dino Toshelo Para, Vechazavam Parati, Lo Sakafran Leoto Mamon. If the court only issued a preliminary ruling and said you are guilty and have to pay, and he says, I already paid, and then there's witnesses that say, no, you did not pay, and we could skip the three next three words again here, it's the same issue as before. So in that case, he is not considered to have a presumptive status of a liar regarding this case. What's the difference? My tama ishtamutehu dekam mishtamet mine sabad adem ayenu bi rabanan bedini. Because when he says I paid, we can assume that he didn't really mean to reject the claim and never pay. He was just buying time. He was just trying to evade, because he said to himself, you know what, until the sages actually give the final ruling, investigate it further, and tell me I have to give me a sentencing order, then I'll pay. But in the meantime, I'll deny. Like nowadays, when someone comes to court, they say not guilty. Of course they say not guilty. Everybody says not guilty. Let the other side prove that I'm guilty, and then I'll pay. So in that case, we don't consider, but in this case, it's not just that he's not going to pay ever. He's just buying time. He doesn't have the money right now. He plans to pay. If he admits it all now, then he's going to have to pay immediately. Since he doesn't have the money, so he says, oh, I paid already. And then it buys him some time, but he was always considering that he's going to pay. And therefore, he's not considered a liar, a denier for the future. Amar Rabba Abar Bar Hana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Maneli Biyadcha, V'hala Omer En Lecha Biyadi Kelum, V'adim Medimoto Sheyesh Lo, V'chazamar Parati, Huzak Kafran Leotom Amon. Along the same lines, Rabbi Yochanan teaches. If someone comes with a claim and says, you have $100 that you owe me, and the other person says, I don't have anything of yours, you never lent me anything. And then witnesses come and say that, yes, he did, in fact, this loan went through, and you borrowed this $100 from the other guy. And so now the debtor changes his story and says, oh, you're right, I did borrow, but I paid it back. So we don't believe him, right? He's changing his story, and now he's considered to have a chazakah of being a liar regarding this case. We're not going to believe anything he says about this case in the future. When he does, if he's found guilty and then he pays, when he eventually does pay, he'll have to do it in front of witnesses that can testify so, because we're not going to believe any claim he makes about it. Ki had shab betai bered rabbi marinus katav la lekalate istela lemilita bechtuvata vekibela aleh. Now we have a story about this man named Shabbatai. He's a son of a rabbi. It doesn't say he's a rabbi himself. And he wrote to his daughter-in-law in her ketubah that he's going to give her this cloak of fine wool, and he accepted upon himself to be a guarantor for the payment of this item in the ketubah. Irkas ketubata, in the end, the ketubah was lost. Amarla lo ayu devari me'olam. And then this his daughter-in-law comes and says, "Hey, you said that you're going to give me a cloak, right?" Said in the ketubah. He says, "What cloak? I never promised that. I don't know what you're talking about." He's lying. Atusa deva amre in ketabla. Witnesses came. They were there at the ketubah signing. There we saw it. You said, promised that you're going to give her a cloak. So then the father-in-law says, "Oh yeah, I did write that, but you know what? I gave it to you already." So the case came to Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya said, "You are now considered a liar regarding this cloak. All right, and you have to give it, and you have to make sure to give it with witnesses, because we're not going to believe any claim that you make in the future regarding this cloak." Amar Rabbi Abba, Abba Amar Rabbi Ela, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, also in the name of Yochanan, another law. Haya chayav lechaveros shibua, v'aman nishpati, v'adim edinoto shelo nishpa, v'chazav aman nishpati, husak kafran leota shibua. If someone had to make a vow to his friend, they're in court, and it's such a situation where the court obligates him to make a vow. And then the defendant says, "Oh, I already made this vow." But witnesses come and say, "Well, when did you make that vow? Right? On this day? No, we were there. You never made such a vow." And he said, "I made the vow." These words, again, we can delete because it's the same pattern as from before. So he is now considered a liar regarding that shivua, just like you can get a chazakah of being a liar regarding certain money, so too also regarding a certain shivua, you could be considered a liar. Hamaruha kamed Rabbi Abu. Now this halacha was repeated in front of Rabbi Abu. Amalehu mistavara milta Rabbi Abin shenit chayev shivua bebedin, aval chayev atzmo shivua neeman abid inish demikre ve'amar. Rabbi Abu said that this halakha that Rabbi Abin said in name of Rabbi Yochanan, it makes sense regarding a shivu'ah that a betin comes and says, "You have to make that vow." And he says, "I already made the vow." And then witnesses come and say he didn't. Then he gets a presumption of being a liar. However, in a case where a person volunteered on his own, he says, "Oh, you don't believe me that I paid? I'll make a vow." Outside of court, he made that he guaranteed, and then afterwards he says, "I made the vow already," but witnesses come and say, "Not so." In that case, he would not be considered a liar. Now, the printed editions say ne'eman, that he would be believed that he made a vow. But this word ne'eman is in brackets. And again, here, if we check the scoreboard, you see this word in brackets does not appear in any other manuscript, especially not in the Hamburg manuscript. The reason why Hamburg is the best is because it was not written in Hamburg, but actually it's a Sephardic manuscript. It's the only Sephardic manuscript that we have. All right, if you click here, you see that this is the rest are all Ashkenazi manuscripts, but also from internal evidence, the Hamburg is the most accurate manuscript. In this case, it doesn't really matter because no manuscripts, not even the first printed edition, has the word ne'eman. So therefore, we am not sure how that got in there. But the idea here is not that he is believed to say that he made a vow. There are two witnesses that said he didn't make a vow. But the point is simply that he's not considered to be a liar in the future because of this. And the reason why this is different is because when a person says, "I'll make a vow," so he doesn't have to make a vow right then. It could be that he intends to make a vow. Now, the witnesses say, you haven't made a vow yet. But he might be thinking to himself, "Okay, I'll make a vow later on," right? Because this is an unofficial vow. So he may still take it later on. And the fact that he said, "I took it already," is only to buy time, that he doesn't want to take this vow just yet. So that's why this is different from when it's in Betin. What Rabbi Abu said in regarding this distinction of in court and out of court, they came and told that to Rabbi Abin, who said the tradition in the first place. And he said, "Yes, I agree. That's what I meant. I only said this halakha when it's a vow in Betin, because then you have to say it right then and there in front of the Betin. And then you claim that you already did it and you're lying. You're found to be a liar. Now you're not trusted at all. But for a voluntary vow, maybe you're just delaying and you're not considered a liar. Itmar name, Amar Rabbi Abin, Amar Rabbi Ela, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We have another tradition in name of Yochanan that says the same thing. Haya chayav l'chavero shiva bedin, v'amar nishpati, v'adim me'idin oto shelo nishpa, v'chazam nishpati, v'chazak kafran oto. Ata Shivua. It's the same words, but here it adds in the word Betin. If someone had to make a vow to his friend in Betin, and he said, I already made the vow, and witnesses came and said, no, you didn't, and then and he says, I did already. Again, these words are not in the good manuscripts, so we don't have to worry about them. He is assumed, presumed to be a liar regarding that vow. Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hamoseh shtarcho bashuk vechatub bo henpek vechatub bo zemano bo bayom yachaziru labealim. Another statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. If someone finds a loan document in the marketplace and has a ratification from a court on it, and it also has a time on it, and the date is that very has a date on it, and the date says the same day you find it on the same day. Right, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and it says in the date, and you find it on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So then you should give it back to the creditor. Why? Are you going to worry that maybe the borrower wrote the document but never actually used it, never got the loan? No, it can't be, because it has a ratification. That means it was given to the lender and the lender already brought it to court. If you're worried that he paid it back already, the borrower paid it back, no, that's very unusual for a person to pay back a loan on the same day that he took it. Well, he borrowed $100 in the morning and then pay back already in the afternoon, a document with a loan and all with a loan with a document and all that. That's unusual, and therefore we do not suspect that. So therefore we give it back to the creditor. And now we have a question. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this, that you wouldn't, a person wouldn't pay a loan back on the same day? Look at the following. Ha'at Huda Amart Mishmer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Zera tells Rabbi Ase, I heard from you directly that you said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Shtar Shelava Bo Ufrao Eno Chozer Velove Bo Shekevan Nimchal Shibudo. If you have a loan document that was issued once and paid back, this and has the same, and the same two people want to make another loan, you cannot use the same document. Why? Because once, when you use it once, the lien that the document is written, the lien that is written in the document is already forgiven. It was the borrower wrote a document for a loan in the morning, $100, and you have a lien on my land. Okay, then he paid it back. So now the lien is gone. If you use it again, there won't be any lien on it. So therefore, you should don't use a document twice. Go write another one. Now, Emat, Rabbi Zera says, what kind of case was Rabbi Yochanan talking about? Ilema lemachar ul yoma hara, mai iria shekeba nimchal shibudo. If we're talking about a case where the first loan was on Rosh Chodesh, Nisan, and then they want to use it again on the second day of Nisan, or the third day of Nisan, right? Yom Ached, any other day. Well then, even without the reason of that the lien was forgiven, still you wouldn't be able to use the same document. Because we would already know it's not allowed, because you cannot use an antedated document. As the Mishnah in the Shavit says, if you have a document with that's dated earlier than the actual transaction, it's no good, right? This is a problem in a loan, because now he's going to collect from a sold property from the early date that really the creditor does not have a right to. He only has a right to sold property from the date of the loan. And so you can't use an antedated document anyway. So you don't have to worry that it's from a different date. Elala biyome. Rather, Rabbi Yochanan must have said that you can't use the same document on the same day, right? Because there's no more lien on it. Alma parai and ashe biyome. Therefore, you see that according to Rabbi Yochanan, it does happen sometimes that a person pays back a loan on the very same day, right? Because that's the case that this halacha is about. He had a document in the morning. Right here, I borrowed from you $100. You have a lien on my land, and then Rabbi Yochanan says, "Don't use it again," meaning don't use it on the same day. Well, you can only use it again if the first loan was repaid, and now you want to borrow again in the afternoon. So you see, according to Rabbi Yochanan, people sometimes do pay back on the same day. Rabbi Yaseh answered, Amar le mika amina de la pare kelal de la shechiche ina she de pare biome ka amina. He says, I didn't say that no one ever pays back on the same day. It's just that it's not common for a person to pay back on the same day. Therefore, if you find a document that says on it, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and you find it on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the very same day, then you can assume that it hasn't been repaid yet, because most of the time people don't repay. Does it happen? Yeah, sometimes it happens. You just need a short-term loan just to cover an expense in the morning. And then, if that's the case, and you need another loan after that, don't use the same document on the same day. Don't reuse a loan document ever. Rav Kahana Amar, Keshechayav Modeh. Rav Kahana has a different explanation of Rabbi Yochanan's ruling that if you find a document on the same day that it was written, you return it to the creditor, and you don't worry that it was paid back. Even though Rabbi Yochanan elsewhere said that people do sometimes pay back loans on the very same day, Rav Kahana explains that Rabbi Yochanan only issued that ruling that you give back to the creditor when the debtor admits that he owes the money, right? We find this document and we go to the debtor. What is this? Oh yeah, I own the money. You can give it back to him. Okay, we ask, if that's the case, then isn't that obvious, right? The creditor said he owes the money. So then obviously you're going to give it back. The debtor admitted that he owes the money. Obviously you're going to give the document back to the creditor. Oh, because I might have thought that you shouldn't give it back to the creditor because the debtor might be saying, I paid it back. The debtor may in fact have paid it back. And why does he say, I didn't pay it back? Because he wants to go and borrow again on that very same day from the same lender. And he says, you know what? I'm going to claim that I didn't pay it back because that way I could use the same loan document for the second loan and I won't have to pay another scribe's fee. Every time you go to the scribe, they charge you $20 to write up another document. Well, I already borrowed from this guy this morning and paid him back. So really now this loan document is no good, but I want it to be good so I could save $20 on the next loan that I'm going to make this afternoon with the same person. And therefore, you know what? I'll just say, yeah, I still own the money. And then people will think it's the same loan. But me and him, we know it's actually for a new loan. Save $20. So now, why don't worry about that? Because kamash malan de'im ken malve gufe la shebak sabar shami bi rabanan umafsedili. You don't have to worry about that because the lender himself is not going to agree to that because the lender knows that this document is invalid. You can't reuse a document, and then he's worried. Maybe the rabbis will find out about it, and they will nullify the entire document, and then I won't be able to collect my money at all. So you don't have to worry that the borrower is going to use this trick because the lender won't agree to it anyway. And therefore, if you find the document and the borrower says, yeah, I agree, then you can give it to the lender. Now we ask, Anav Kahana, May Shana Mehad Itnan Masa Shitre Hob, Im Yesh Behen Achirut Nechasim Lo Yachzir, Ve'okimna Keshechayav Modeh. How is what you said different from the discussion we had back in the Mishnah earlier that says, if you find a loan document, if it has a lien on it, then do not return it to the lender. And we said that that's talking about a case where the borrower admits that he owes. Umishum shema katabelot benisan velo lava at tishrei v'atel mitraf lakochot benisan v'atishrei shelo kedin. And we asked, how come you don't return it, even though the borrower admits that he owes? Because maybe he drafted this document in Nisan, when he was thinking about it, but he didn't end up borrowing money until Tishrei. And now the creditor will come and collect land that had been sold between Nisan and Tishrei illegally, because really the lien only starts at the time of the loan in Tishrei, but the document is predated, and that's not okay. So we cannot give it back to the creditor because that might affect the buyers of that land unfairly. So how come we worried about that there, and Rav Kahana is not worried about that? Why don't we apply Rav Kahana's worry also to this halacha, the one back on Daf Yud Bet, and we don't say, and Rav Kana doesn't say there also, that the lender would not himself not allow this, because instead he would say, no, write a due document. What is this? It says Nisan on it? That's from back then when you were thinking of borrowing? No, you better write a new one because if that says Tishrei on it, because otherwise the rabbis might find out about this and they will disqualify the whole loan, the whole note, and I won't be able to collect. So why don't we say the same thing there? And since you don't have to worry because the lender won't allow such a thing to happen, then when you find it, you could give it back to the lender. But the Mishnah and the discussion back there, we didn't say that, Rav Kahana. And the answer is, Amri, hata mishum di'it le ravcha deka tarif lakochot minisan va'ad tishre, menach nichale. In that case, the lender has a benefit because with this document, even though it's false, he can use it to collect sold property back from Nisan until Tishrei. So we know he's not going to say anything, and he'll take that risk. Yeah, could be the rabbis will find out and they'll nullify it. But in the meantime, maybe they won't find out. And now he has more guarantee for his loan. So v'lo ma v'lo midi doesn't say anything. However, hacha kevan delet leravcha, here the lender has no benefit. Sof sof shetarahi danakativ. It was written on the same day. Ma'ika dekatarif lakochot. What sold property will he be able to collect from if he uses the same document rather than a new one? Bishtash shenimchal shibudo lashabik. So therefore, he's not going to allow himself to accept a loan document that is already used and actually has no lien on it, because the very same day. So it's in the lender's interest to get a new document that will be totally valid. And he still can collect from the very same property of the borrower because it's still written on the very same day. And now we have yet another law from Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Chiyam Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, HaToen Ahar Ma'aseh Bet Din Lo Amar Kelum. If a court issues a ruling and then someone says, oh, I paid it already, we do not believe him. Mai Ta'ama Kol Ma'aseh Bet Din Keman Denakit Shetara Bideh Dameh. Any ruling of the court, any court enactment, is as if someone is holding a promissory note in his hand, so you have to pay, right? It's right there in front of you. The phrase ma'aseh betin here means something different from what we've been seeing above. Above, ma'aseh betin meant a court-ordered document. Like they say, you have an authorization to go and take this property, or a document that they themselves have ratified and signed. Here it means something different. Here it's talking about something that the Bet Din, in general, the rabbis, made an enactment like a payment of ketubah. Even if you don't actually have a ketubah, still there's a requirement of the husband to pay what would be in a ketubah. So these are things that Bet Din has decided that one has to pay. And so the idea here is that if there is a requirement, a responsibility of someone to pay something that's an enactment of the Bet Din, even if there's no actual document present, still it's as if there's a document present because the Bet Din requires such payments. Amar le Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan velo mishnatenu hizo hosi aget ve'en imo ketubah goba ketubata. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba tells Rabbi Yochanan, why do you have to teach this halacha? Isn't it obvious from a Mishnah in Masechet Ketubot that if a woman produces a get, even though she doesn't have a ketubah, she can collect her ketubah? The fact that she was divorced is proof that she was divorced, and then any woman who's divorced gets to collect a ketubah. So even if she doesn't have a physical ketubah, she gets to pay it. So you see, this is a ma'aseh betin. Right, the responsibilities of a husband to pay ketubah is a ma'aseh betin, and so you see from here that even without the document, we make him pay. So Rabbi Yochanan, why do you need to tell us that? We know this from the Mishnah. Amar le ilav de delai la chaspa la mishkachat marganita tutaha. Rabbi Yochanan has a fantastic line here. If not that I had picked up the shard for you, you would not find the pearl underneath. In other words, you would not have realized that this Mishnah tells us this chidush, if not that I pointed it out to you, right? A good teacher, you know, he puts all the facts and the hints and sets up all the information, and then the student says, oh, look what I found, as if the student found it. Yeah, that's only because the teacher set everything up perfectly, So that this would be the logical next step. So Rabbi Yochanan says, of course I had to say what I did. Otherwise, you wouldn't have realized that that Mishnah is so. That Mishnah just says, okay, if there is a get, then you have to pay the ketubah. But I'm showing a more general rule from this, that any ma'aseh betin, anything that the rabbis require someone to pay, even without a contract present, one has to pay. Amad Abaye, mai marganita, dilma b'makom she'en kotvin ketubah askin, and the get, hainu ketubata, ava makom she'ketubin. Shekotvin kituba inekita kituba gabia ila la gabia. Abaye argues with this principle, this so-called pearl. He says, "What pearl is there? You can't derive the Rabbi Yochanan's law from the Mishnah, because maybe that Mishnah is talking about a case only where the custom is not to write a ketubah. There were some places that they didn't write a ketubah. It was assumed. And therefore, if you're in a place where no ketubah is written and the woman produces a get, then that's the ketubah. That's the proof that she was divorced and she has to be paid. However, if you live in a place where it's customary to write a ketubah, then only if she actually has a ketubah, she gets paid, otherwise not. And so from this Mishnah, we would not be able to derive that anytime the rabbis require a responsibility, like a husband paying the wife after the end of the marriage, that is not necessarily true from this Mishnah, that the requirement of the Bet Din needs to be paid even without a ketubah, right? One cannot, in fact, learn it from this Mishnah. That's what Abaye said at first. Hadad amar Abaye, lav milta hi damari. But then he changed his mind and he said, you know what? Scratch that. Te'i salka da'atech makom she'en ketubim ketubah haskinan, al makom she'ketubim ketubah I nekita ketubah gabia, ila la gabia, al mana min erusin b'may gabia. If you would think that only in a place where it's customary not to write a ketubah, that's where the Mishnah says a get can be used to collect ketubah payment. But if you live in a place where it's customary to write a ketubah, then if she has a ketubah document, she can collect. Otherwise not, that's what Abaye had said right over here. Well, if so, what about a widow from Erusin? You have a man and a woman, they did kiddushin only, and then the man died. So the law is that his heirs, his estate, has to pay a ketubah. Even though they never finalized the marriage with nisuin, still, even with kiddushin, she deserves a ketubah. And here, what ketubah would there be? Generally, they would write a ketubah sometime after the kiddushin, before or at the time of the nisuin. That's when they write the ketubah. So here, this almana, she does not have a ketubah, but we know that she deserves to get paid a ketubah amount. So it must be, in fact, as was said above, that you can derive from this Mishnah, the law of Rabbi Yochanan, that in fact, even without a physical ketubah, a woman can collect a ketubah, even in a place where it's normal to write a ketubah, like here, where it's normal to write a ketubah, but in Almanah, her ketubah is not written yet, and yet she does get to collect it. And be'ade mitat ba'al lit'on ve'lema peratiha v'chitema hachiname imken ma ho'ilu chachamim betakanatan. And if you say that in this case, the widow who are from Erusin, she can collect her ketubah amount based on the testimony, the witnesses that said they saw that her husband had died. And that'll be the equivalent of someone coming in with a ketubah or a divorcee coming in with a get. And so she also, in fact, has something. Here's witnesses that he died, so therefore I get a ketubah. But in that case, since she has no documentation, only witnesses, then the heirs of the husband could always say, we paid her already. And then they'd have to be believed. Now, and if you say, yes, indeed, we believe the heirs to say that they paid, well, in that case, what did the rabbis accomplish through their enactment? They made an enactment that even before Nisuin, even if they only have Kiddushin and the husband dies, then the heirs have to pay ketubah. What good would that ordinance be if the heirs could always just claim, we paid it already? And she would have no recourse because the ketubah is not written yet. She doesn't have a document like a get. All she has is these witnesses, but the witnesses don't know if it's paid or not. And so he just says it was paid, and then she's left with nothing. So therefore, you see that it's not because we're relying on the witnesses or on the get or on the ketubah, but in fact, as Rabbi Yochanan said, at the top of this sugya that a woman can collect her ketubah, and in fact any case of a maaseh betin, anything that the betin, that the rabbis in general have made an enactment, someone has to pay. That person will have to pay even if they don't have a physical document, because the enactment of a betin is in place of, is as strong as actually holding a promissory note. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.